It's 2:42. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Award-winning storyteller Dan Ketting is my guest in this portion of the program. His latest storytelling project involves elders. He's put together a collection of folk and fairy tales about elders. They're stories from around the world. The title, Elder Tales, Stories of Wisdom and Courage from Around the World. You need not be an elder to enjoy this book. No matter your age, you might learn something. You might see yourself, and there's little or no doubt you'll find yourself laughing out loud. Dan, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Celeste.
May we begin with a story?
Of course. Let's see. We'll take one from the book, if you'd like.
Okay.
It's a favorite of mine, and I learned it when I was in Japan. And the story goes like this. Once a long time ago, there was a samurai. And the samurai was a haughty man. He was used to everyone jumping at every word. He was used to being obeyed. And he went to an old teacher, a Zen master, and said, "Can you teach me about Zen?" And the old master looked up at him and said, "Teach you? I couldn't teach you anything. You're ignorant. You're stupid. Look at you. You're filthy. Your clothes are dirty. You smell. I bet there's rust all over your sword." Well, the samurai flew into a rage, drew out his long sword, was just about to strike the old man dead, when the old man looked up and said, "Ah, now you've experienced hell." And the man stopped, and he realized that this old man had just risked his life to teach him a lesson. And he put down the sword, and he put it away, and then the old man smiled and said, "Now you know heaven."
Hmm.
So the slightly different version of the book, but
yeah.
It's that kind of story that I really like those kind of stories.
Yeah, you came this close to losing your soul, and now you're ready to learn.
Right. It's like the old Zen story about the man who comes and says, the rich man says, "Teach me about Zen," and the old man says, "Would you like tea?" And he starts filling up the teacup, and soon the teacup is overflowing onto the table, onto the man's lap, and he says, no, the cup's too full, stop." And the old man says, "It's just like your mind. It's too full. I can't put anything into it."
Yeah.
So it's wisdom is just an amazing thing when you start delving into folk tales. It comes from children. It comes from elders. It comes from everyone. And it's always done in such a way that there's no explanation needed. It's just there.
When you came in and sat down, one of the things you said was that people have told you that they didn't realize there were so many elder tales. And that takes you and me by surprise.
It did. It did take me by surprise when the book came out and people said, "Oh, I didn't know we had all these stories about elders." Because I just automatically felt that way. I grew up with an elder in the family, my grandmother. She lived with us. She taught me stories. I just thought it was normal. But then I started looking into a lot of collections, and many collections are very youth-oriented with heroes. And you very seldom see a physical hero as an elder. That's why in the book I really tried to find in the heroes section of elders, some physical heroes. The Rose is a good example, a Chinese story. I mean, it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He flies and, he takes the two lovers away and he flies through the air with them with his sword, And the same thing for the second half of Beowulf. I've actually had people come up to me who studied Beowulf in high school, but they only studied it to the death of Grendel's mother. And they never went to the other half of the work, which is Grendel, which is the dragon. And now Beowulf is 80 years old, and he's a king. He's not an adventurer anymore. And it's a beautiful story. And what was really interesting was researching it and seeing what one of his names was. He was called the Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Because warriors in those days were given rings to go around their arms, and they were only given by their lord, by their king. And so his name was, one of his titles was the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And Tolkien would have known that because he was a scholar.
Well, now we have to go back to that story, don't we?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are there stories here that you discovered from putting this collection together?
Oh, I'd say well over half of the stories I researched and discovered. I really wanted to have some unique stories that weren't found in many other collections or not in any collections. So I really did a lot of work. I have a huge library at home, about 3,000 volumes. And so I did a lot of my work there. And I then I also did a lot of work in different libraries, and I really, really wanted to find something like The Rose is a good example of that. That's the only book that I could find that in has been out of print for 75, 85 years. And so I had to really search for that story. And I think it was important because so many times people pick up collections and they look at the contents, they go, oh, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, and they don't buy the book. I know these stories. So I wanted people to look at the table of contents and go, wow, I've never seen those. What's that all about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned Beowulf. How old, how recent are the tales in Elder Tales?
There are no contemporary stories in the book. Everything is a traditional story. I would say maybe the earliest would be a Native American story that was given to me by Davi Thomason, a wonderful Native American storyteller, and she gave me that story for the book. And maybe that one's 150, 200 years old, and after that, we're talking. Most of the books, most of the stories, I'd say, probably are pre-17th century.
Hmm. There's an interesting, one of the interesting characters, there are, I think, two or three stories that involve this fellow. This is a Middle Eastern character, Nasruddin. I hope I've got that name.
Nasruddin.
What is it?
Nasruddin.
Nasruddin, okay.
Yes.
He's an interesting character. He's a lot of fun. He's kind of funny, but he kind of gets it right in the end.
He does. He is the typical wise fool. Here in this country, we have jacktails. That's our wise fool. And every culture has their own version of Nasruddin. And he's a wonderful character because he's hysterical. The stories are just wonderfully funny. But then when you start thinking on it, you go, yeah, he's right. You know, there's a little bit of wisdom there. There's a little bit of making you, you know, second guessing, a second thought maybe.
Yeah, there's a story in the book about someone asks him, I think it is his king or his ruler, asks him to go out and come back with a report on the meaning of history or the importance of history. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and it's, what, two words?
One word.
One word.
Carrot.
Carrot.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? That's him.
Yeah. Now, you want to share that one? It's a short one.
He comes back and he's gone for many years and he goes to courts all over the world. And when he comes back, his report is one word on one piece of paper, and the word is carrot. And the king brings him back, the Shah brings him back to his court and says, well, what do you mean by carrot? He says, well, wisdom, knowledge is like a carrot. He says, what we see is the green on top, and we don't realize that underneath the ground there's this luscious fruit, this luscious food. And like the carrot, it has to be dug up, it has to be used, it has to be eaten so it doesn't spoil. And like the carrot, history is like the carrot because, like the carrot, so many times it's eaten by fools and donkeys.
Yeah. We're not really paying attention.
They're not paying attention to it.
Yeah. And Nasruddin.
He's another great story of Nasruddin's that is just delightful is when he decides that he's lost his key. And he's looking in the dirt in front of his house for his key. And the neighbor comes over and says, what are you doing? Well, I lost my key. He said, I'll help you look. Keys are important. And so they're both looking. And soon another neighbor and another and a passerby. And soon the traffic's blocked down the street because all these people are in the dirt. And finally, one of the men, after 20, 30 minutes, stands up, straightens his back and says, Nasruddin, where were you standing exactly when you realized you lost your key? Nasruddin says, I was in the cellar. And everyone stops. And they said, the cellar? He says, yes. What are we doing out here? It's dark and cold in the cellar, and I was all alone, but out here it's sunny and warm, and all my friends are with me.
Do you find similar themes and stories from one place to another?
Oh, yes, yes. You can go from one country, one culture to the next, and you see that same combination of wisdom and foolishness. You see the same combination of heroics. Betsy Hearn, who's a professor emeritus from the Graduate School of Library and Information Science, she has a wonderful book out on Beauty and the Beast stories from 30-some different cultures, and they all grew up independent of each other.
Mm.
And they're all the same motif. And it's the way Cinderella, Knock on the Door, all those different stories. You find them in all the different cultures.
Yeah. We have to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe I would ask you to tell the story, The Monks and the Geisha. This is a story you say that you seem to have known forever.
I know. It's in a wonderful little book. First time I read it was in Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. And I've worn out copies of that since college. And I'll tell you the story. Once a long time ago, there were two monks, and they were traveling from Kyoto to Edo. And as they were traveling, they came upon a geisha, and she was standing at the side of the road. There'd been a rain, and the road was muddy. And she stopped the two, and she talked to the young one and said, "Can you help me across the road?" But he turned his back to her. And the old man just walked up to her and said, "Of course." He bowed to her, scooped her up in his arms, carried her across the muddy road, and put her down, and she bowed and thanked him. And the two monks continued on their journey. That evening they stopped at a temple, and after they had prayed and after they had eaten, they went to sleep. But the young man, he couldn't sleep at all, and finally he shook the old man awake and said, "Why did you touch her? We're forbidden to look at women, let alone touch them. Well, how could you do that?" The old man looked at him and smiled and said, "I put her down miles ago. Why are you still carrying her around?"
That's a fabulous story.
Isn't that a great story?
That's a wonderful story for today, because so many of us, I think, carry things well beyond where we should have left them at the
side
of the road.
You're right. It's a great story for today.
Yeah. Are you going to be performing anywhere in the area soon?
I will be my next big performance will be down in Cape Girardeau at their first storytelling festival, but I will be performing in the area during the summer. And also, I'll be doing my annual Edgar Allan Poe readings at Allerton in October.
Around Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay. And for folks who are looking for your work, of course, they could go to the library. Where else can they find it if they want to?
Well, they can always get it online, but they can also, I'm sure that the local bookstores will be carrying it.
Order it for you.
Yes. Yeah, especially at Pages.
Okay,
for all
very
ages.
Good. Dan, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Celeste.
It's been a pleasure. Dan Ketting has been my guest in this portion of the program. He's the author most recently of Elder Tales, Stories of Wisdom and Courage from Around the World. The book is published by Libraries Unlimited. And Dan also has a number of CDs out as well. All kinds of wonderful stories. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.